Good morning. Today we're going to begin the sugya that I think everyone's been waiting for, discussion of ma'aser k'safim, how much stock a person is mechuyev to give, how to calculate ma'aser, what you can use it for. And these are the practical questions that I think everyone's really been holding out the past 10 shiurim for. That being said, you're going to have to wait another 3 or 4 minutes. I'd like to just very briefly summarize what we discussed at the end of the shiur 2 weeks ago. There was a bit of confusion afterwards, so I just want to very briefly summarize what we discussed. The issue was accepting tzedakah from a goy or from a yid who is not from. Now, there are two separate questions we dealt with. Accepting tzedakah, which means money that went to aniyim, poor people, and accepting donations for a shul. And these two questions also have to be broken down. There's a question of dealing with a goy and dealing with a Yisrael mummer, a yid who is not from. As far as a shul accepting a donation from a goy, there the halacha is that it is mutter. A goy is allowed to bring a karbon. He's allowed to make a donation for the bedek habayis, and therefore he's certainly allowed to give money to a shul. Now, dedicating a shul, or if it's nikra shmaya lov, that would be a separate issue. But a typical, if he wants to give a few dollars to a shul, that is certainly mutter. Tzedakah was a completely separate issue, and there we saw there were two gemaros. The gemara in Sanhedrin said that if you accept tzedakah from a goy, if it's done in public, if it's done mifarhesia, where the recipient has another option, he doesn't desperately need it, there he's pasul eidus. It is aser, it is considered a chil Hashem, it's a bezoyin, for a Jew to have to come on to a goy to accept money publicly. That gemara was mashma, if it's done privately, or if there's no other option, then it would be mutter. However, the gemara in Bava Basra had the story with Ifra Hormuz. There the gemara says that the mother of the king sent money for tzedakah. They refused to accept it because biyavish katzira tisha berna, accepting tzedakah from a goy is ma'arich the galus. The Achronim will point out that if it's ma'arich the galus, it makes no difference whether it's befarhesir or betzina, whether people see it or not. If it's going to prevent the gula from coming, it will be asur under all circumstances. And therefore, the Achronim were bothered by the stira, whether it's mutter or asur, even kabel tzedakah from a goy befarhesir, and the various terutzim. One terutz was depends what the goy is giving it for. If he's giving it exclusively to Jews, then it is aser. If he's giving it to everyone, just as general tzedakah, it's mutter. Based on that, today, when if you're dealing with government programs where it's given out to everyone, there would be no question, it would be mutter since it's not exclusively to Jews. In addition, when you're dealing with a government program, because there are other motives involved, there are political considerations, and it's not being done completely shem shemayim, there it is less of a schus. You don't have to worry about being marach the galus because of that, and therefore most poskim are matter. In contrast, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the goy was giving it out specifically, in Sanhedrin where he was giving out to everybody, there's only a problem of chil Hashem, and that is only also bifarhesia. That was as far as a goy is concerned. When you're dealing with the Yisrael Murmur, the halachas are different. And according to most places, it comes out, it's the exact opposite. A Yisrael Murmur cannot give money to a shul. Because the same way a goy is allowed to, you're allowed to accept money to a shul because just like he can bring a karbon, he can make a donation to Bedek Abayis and he can give money to a shul. A Yisrael Murmur, the halacha is, if he's a Murmur lahachis, he does his surim not because he has an uncontrollable desire. He does his surim because he's shavak etera bachal his surim because he simply doesn't care. He's not allowed to bring a karbon. And therefore, the Ramah of Haskins, the same way he cannot bring a karbon, he cannot bring a ner to a shul, he can't bring a ner or a candle to the shul. Some achrayinim learn this is Isser is only he can't bring a candle. A candle is like a karbon. But if he wants to give a donation for the shul itself, it is mutter. However, most Paiskim in the Mishnah Berurah argue, they say the Ramah means across the board. If he's a Mumr L'Teavoin, or if he's a Mechal Shalaz B'Farhesia, you cannot accept any donation for a shul. Now today, if the person is a Tinik Shenishba, and the Maram Shik says, if it's given Taruvais, if it's mixed in with other money, there are Mekilim. If the issue comes up, you can ask, ask a shayla. But Mikra Adin, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, a mummer, a mechal Shabbos, you cannot accept money for a shul. Now that's as far as a shul. What about tzedaka for aniyim? So the Shmos Yaakov says, there's a kal v'chomer. Madach ogoy, who you can accept money for a shul. But when he wants to give tzedaka to aniyim, we say he can't. So kol shken yisrael mummer, who can't give money to a shul, certainly can't give money for aniyim. However, Roiv Achroinim argue, and they say it's not a good kal v'chomer. Because what's the problem with accepting tzedakah from a guy? The problem is it's going to be marach the galus, because it's such a big schus for the guy, and we don't want them to have such a schus, and it'll take away from the geula. That's a guy. A Yisrael mummer, it's bad enough he's a mummer, it's bad enough he does have averus, but adaraba, any schus that he could possibly have, the more schus the better. It does not prevent the geula from coming, because there are Jews, even if they're Yisrael mummer, have schusim. And therefore, according to Roiv Paiskim, there's absolutely no problem accepting tzedakah for aniyim from a Yisrael mummer. It's only a question when you're dealing with a shul. There already, it's a much more serious shaila. Now, we had by us, when we were building the shul in the neighborhood, there's a very prominent politician who lives nearby. He's Jewish. He's unfortunately married to a shikta. And when the shul started going up, he pledged to make a donation for the shul. Now we have this problem. This is a Chayra Yisrael Mummer. He's Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesir. And the question is, can you accept money for a base classes? So this is a big shiloh. The postman were busy scrambling with it. Now, luckily, Maisa, really the problem solved itself, because as I mentioned, it was a politician. So he made the pledge, promised the money, but it never came to Maisa. What many Paiskim do suggest is if it happens, very often they will tell you to use the money, but not to use it for the shul itself. You can use it for bathroom supplies or things like that, which are not a dover shavu kedusha. It's not going directly into the shul. It's just supplies that the people in the shul are nene from. But again, there are mekilim today. If it comes up, you should ask a shayla.
Is yeshiva
in
the same category as the shul?
Lav dafka. David Meisharim says the yeshiva is on a lower dargo less, not because it is less chashivus, but it's not doima to the base of Migdash or to a karbon. And therefore, David Meisharim is makel over there. Befrat, he says, hey, even by a shul, there's a machlokes. Maybe the yisr is only by a ner. So even though we're machmer over there, by yeshiva, he is makel. This is all mumr lahachas. And mumr l'teyavoin, there's absolutely no yisr. And adraba, mumr teyavoin wants to do a mitzvah, then adraba. You encourage him, you do everything you can to help him. It's only when it's lahachas, it's a shavag eter bachal yisura, or if he's Eved Avodah Zarah or the like. Okay, so now let's begin the sugya of Ma'aser Ksavim and the question of how much tzedakah is a person mechuyev to give. Now, the answer is a bit complex. We're going to have to go through some of the different guidelines. We'll start with the basic and more simpler issues. And that is, who has to give tzedakah? If a person is himself struggling, does he have, how much or do, what is his obligation when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah? Now for this we have what seems to be a flat-out stira between two halachas. In the beginning of the halachas, tzedakah and reish memtes, there the mechaber paskins that everyone has to give tzedakah, and afilu ani hamafaris min tzedakah, even a person who he himself is accepting tzedakah, chayiv litzei mimash nasan loy. He has to take some of that tzedakah that he gets from the gabbai, some of the tzedakah he goes begging people give him money, some of that he has to separate out, and he has to in turn find another ani, someone someone else who needs it, and give tzedakah. So it seems pretty clear from the mechaber that everyone is chayiv in the mitzvah of tzedakah, regardless of how much money they have. Mitzvah cheni the tour, and it's actually the Ramah later on say. They bring down the very well-known Gemara of Chai Bohem. Chayecha Koidmer. Now, as we went through the past two shiurim, Hilchas Kedima. How if you have tzedakah money, so first you give it to your relatives, then you give it to Aniyei Yerucha, then you give it to Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, the whole hierarchy of where to spend the money. There's one category that we skipped, and that is Chayecha Koidmer. That the first priority a person has is to take care of himself and his wife, his small children, the people who are mutal on him. And therefore the Torah paskins, chayecha koidmin, if a person does not have any money, he does not give tzedakah. He has to take care of himself and his family first. So we have a flat-out stira. One halacha says, even an ani that's accepting tzedakah still has to give tzedakah to someone else. And the other halacha says, lechayecha kaidman. You take care of yourself first, and only after your needs are provided for do you give tzedakah to other people. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Nachat Tzvi and the Taz, and this is the Derech HaMuna, passing like this halacha, say that it depends. We've mentioned before that when it comes to tzedakah, there's a minimum amount of tzedakah a person has to give a year. The amount, according to the Mechaber, is a shlishus ha-shekel, a third of a shekel, which is roughly a quarter of an ounce. It's 256 prutzos. They're about 1,100 prutzos to an ounce, approximately. So you'll end up with about a quarter of an ounce of tzedakah of silver per year, which is the equivalent of somewhere between $7 and $10, depending on the price of silver. That is the minimum. If someone gives less than a shlishus ha-shekel, less than this $7 to $10 a year, he's not mechayev the mitzvah of tzedakah whatsoever. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan. The mechaber that says that even an ani that's taking tzedakah has a chiv to give tzedakah, that's talking about the minimum. That means a shlishus ha-shekel, that's the $10 a year. The Ramah later on that says hayecha kaidmim, that's talking about the chiv of meister, the chiv of chaymish, the tzedakah that everyone had to give each year was based on how much money you had. So there, first you take care of yourself and your family, and only when you have extra money, only when you're above that, do the regular chiyuvim of tzedakah kick in. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan makes the point that im kein, he says, very few people are going to give tzedakah. Because most people, regardless of how much money they're earning, they manage to spend basically everything that comes in, and then some. So Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, what's going to be? Everyone's going to say, Chayecha Kaidmet, I need this to live. And you'll get a shlishus ha-shekel from everyone, and that's about it. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, nothing doing. Zok the Aruch HaShulchan, it is true, it says, Chayecha Kaidmet. It's true you have to first provide for yourself and your family. That means the basic minimum amount that you need, your bread, your basic necessities to survive. On that we say, Chayecha Kaidmet. Anything above that, now you want to live like a Baal Bas. Now you want to live, you want to dress nice, you want to have a nice car. Very nice. If you can afford to do that, you can do that. But you can't go ahead and have a higher standard of living and take that off your tzedakah cheshbon. Once you have above your basic needs, then already your mechuyev b'tzedakah, the meiser, the chaymish, whatever the shear is that we'll discuss. But this patur is only for someone who is just living on a minimal standard of living. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan does not define exactly what a minimal standard of living means. He talks about having just basic bread and water. What apisvara, what l'chayr would mean is it depends on each person's day machzorah. Anything that you need, that if you don't have that, you would be able to take tzedakah. So then, that's mistama kol chayecha kaidmin. Your day machzore comes first, and there, if that's all a person has, he has nothing more than that. He doesn't have to give tzedakah other than this shlishus ha-shekel, other than this $10 a year. But if a person has a higher standard of living, he may be used to it. He may at this point, expect it. But if it's not a day machzore, if it's not a level which if he wasn't able to afford it, he'd be able to collect tzedakah to maintain that lifestyle. Then he would have to give tzedakah and the regular chiyuvei tzedakah and would not have this heter. Pelayoyetz says it very nicely. He says, chayecha kaidmin. And Zogdi Pelayoyetz, a person, even if he has a hisoyros, he's inspired to give tzedakah. But a person does have to take into consideration he has a family. And if by giving by being overly generous, by giving an abundance of tzedakah, it's going to hurt his lifestyle and his family is going to suffer. A person shouldn't do that. There's a shikl hadas. You have to weigh what the effects will be before you give the tzedakah, and therefore don't be so quick to give away an abundance of your money. But chayecha kaidmin means something else as well. Chayecha kaidmin means your chayim nitzchi is also kadam. And therefore, if your wife is nagging you that she wants to redo the kitchen, but to you, you have a higher, your priority is your nitzchius. He says, there you shouldn't be so quick to give in to the demands of your family to spend to raise your standard of living. You have to make sure you take care of yourself. You have to make sure that you're making the mitzvah of tzedakah the way it's the proper way and the way it's supposed to be done. So this is the first yisod. A person who does not who is in ani himself, a person is struggling while he has a chiyuv of a shlishus hashekel. More than that, apipashus he doesn't have a chiyuv of a meiser or a chaymish. He just has to give this basic amount, and that's enough. Let's now flip to the other side. What is the maximum amount of tzedakah a person is allowed to give? You have people who are very generous, who want to do the mitzvah. Is there a cap? Is there a maximum? So this seems to be a very clear Gemara. The Gemara in Ksuvas and Daf Nun says that Be'usha Hiskinu, in Usha, that's where the Sanhedrin, it's one of the places the Sanhedrin went when they left Yerushalayim. Hayivazvez, ayivazvez, yoyisim mechoymish. A person who wants to distribute an abundance of tzedakah should not give out more than a fifth. He should not give more than 20% of his money to tzedakah. And the Gemara explains that we're concerned if a person is overly generous. Right now he may be able to afford it. Right now he may have money. But if he gives out 20%, he gives it more than a chaymish, we're afraid ultimately he'll be yored l'nechasav. He'll give out too much. He won't be able to support himself. And he himself will ultimately need to take tzedakah. In order to prevent that, Chazal made a takana that the maximum, the cap, is one-fifth. It's obvious it's a loy plug. Obviously, everyone's in a slightly different situation, but this was the hasharas hadas that up until a fifth you can safely give away. More than that already you shouldn't, because the person of Efes Leyo B'chol Evyon, we don't want the person to become an ani. Now, if you think about this takana isn't really is an incredible insight of what Klal Yisrael looked like back then. Chazal, Sanhedrin, were fairly busy people. And they dealt with the crises that arose in Klal Yisrael. So today, every year or so, we hear about the new crisis. We have agudah conventions, we have meetings where the askanim get together. Sometimes it's a shidduch crisis, sometimes it's a tuition crisis. We have different crises that have to be resolved. Bimei Chazal, the crisis that they had was people were giving away too much money. And it was such a crisis, people were being yored l'nechasav, they were giving out such an abundance of tzedakah, they themselves were becoming aniyim. And Chazal had to come up with a new way to stop this problem from occurring. And therefore, Be'usha Hiskinu, they had to go ahead, they had to make a takonis Chazal capping the amount of tzedakah that a person could give. Because in the absence of such a drastic move, we're not able to stop a yid, stop Klal Yisrael from just giving as much tzedakah as they could, even more than they can afford. But bottom line is, Be'usha Hiskinu, they made a takana because of this problem, that you can't give more than a fifth. Now, the Gemara, at least in the Bavli, does not say you have to give a fifth. The Gemara is saying a maximum. Hayuvazve, someone who wants to be very generous, cannot give more than a fifth. That's what the Mashmaos of the Gemara is. Again, we'll get back to this, but this is the Bavli, what seems to be. Now, there are a number of exceptions to this rule. The first, the Chavetz Chaim points out, is that why is there a cap of a fifth? What's Chazal's problem? What's someone wants to give more tzedakah? Well, why are we stopping him? The answer is, we're afraid, we don't want a person to be yared l'nechasav. We don't want a person to give away so much that he himself becomes an ani. Zog the Chavetz Chaim, you find you have many people who, every time they make a few dollars, the first thing they do is they run out, they buy themselves a fancy car, they start jetting around the world on vacation, and every time the money comes in, it goes right out on every shtus you can imagine. Zog the Chavetz Chaim, if that's the lifestyle the person's living, whatever he's had, he wastes it on everything else. So there, we don't have to worry about him giving out too much tzedakah. There, we don't have this chashash that will become an ani. And there, the Chavetz Chaim says, he says you shouldn't be doing it. But if you're such a person who all the money you come in, you're just spending on every Nairishkeit and on an extravagant style of living, there he says, you can't, when it comes to tzedakah, suddenly become frum and say, sorry, here I have to save for myself, I have to worry about the future. If his whole Mahalach HaChayim is he doesn't worry, he's not saving anything, he's just spending it all, then the Chafetz Chaim says this cap would not apply, and he says perhaps you can give as much stuff as you want. Now the Ramah adds that this cap is also, why do we have a cap? We have the cap because we don't want someone to give away so much that it'll become an ani. Zok the Ramah, when a person is on his deathbed, a person is writing a tzavah, he's writing a will, there Takanos Susha does not apply. Because once he's dead, you don't take it with you. There's no chashash, it'll become an ani. And therefore, this cap is only mechayim while a person's alive. There, we want to make sure he keeps enough money to support himself. But if he wants to write a will, if he's on his deathbed, he wants to give away more, there, takanos susha does not apply. Now, the Ramah just says there's no takanos susha. You can give however much you want. However, the other poskim limit it. It's machlokes. Some say you cannot give away more than half of your estate to tzedakah. Others limit it to a third. Others say it really depends how big the estate is. If you're going to leave enough, if the estate is large enough that you're going to leave a respectable amount to your yarshim, they'll be fine, they'll be set up, then there's no cap. But if you have a smaller estate, then you should be less generous. You should not completely cut out your yarshim. You have to leave them a respectable amount. Baal Kolpanim, that the takanos usha, the cap of a fifth, does not apply, la'achar misa, does not apply when a person is giving it away in a will.
The yarshim are people of means. Why is there an inyan specifically to leave? What's the inyan of leaving them on?
So we'll discuss that more when we go through Hilchos Yerusha. There is an isra of avurei achsanto, of cutting out a yarish. The Torah created yarshim and created a seder ha-yerusha, and the Torah wants your money to go to the Yarshim. Now, whether you have to leave them everything or how much, that's a discussion over there. But I'll call upon him, you see, the Torah does not encourage people to completely cut out their Yarshim. You want to give some money to Tzedakah, whether it's a third, a half, there the place can marmekel, because Tzedakah, it's for your benefit. But to do more than that, to basically deprive them of the entire Yerusha, that is either usur or not encouraged, depending on the parameters. We'll discuss that when we get there. Oh, very good, very good. So the Achrayim do ask that. If there's a haftacha that when you give money to tzedakah, then you'll have ashirus. So what is the problem that if you give more than a chaymish, you'll become an ani? What's the problem? You add a rabbi, you'll become more of an usher. What? Oh, fine, good, good. So, we're going to see that some, we'll get to later, some people say that this Takanos Usha does not apply to Tzedakah. The Mechaber, if you look down, Hilchos Tzedakah does not bring down Takanos Usha. The Rambam doesn't bring it down, he brings it down in Hilchos Erechim, but it's talking about being mocked, things that go to Hektish. But for Tzedakah, it is not brought down by the Mechaber. So that the Mechaber may argue completely. The Ramah clearly does say it. There, so I saw one shot was that it's true that when a person gives for tzedakah, there's a haftacha that he won't lose out. However, like everything else, there's a gavul. There's a seder, a person cannot be soimach on a nes. And therefore, if you're going to give a meiser, you're going to give a choymish, you're going to give a reasonable amount. So that's something which is responsible. And don't worry, in the long run, you'll get it back eventually. But if you're going to go ahead and give away all of your money and say, I gave it all away, but it's stuck, I have a haftacha to get it back, that is being soimach on an ace, and there you don't say the haftacha. Right. So another pshat, and this is a little bit harsher. Takanos usha, although takanos usha sounds like they didn't rabbanon, let's really take a step back. What was before takanos usha? So before takanos usha, you would think there's no cap; you give whatever you want. So Yerushalmi and Peyos mavur that really this cap is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Yerushalmi says it was forgotten, and Takanos Usha, they were chayzer, they were mesakin, and they were mechavin to that original halacha l'moshe misinai. But it is not a din d'rabbanan, it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, if that's the case, if the whole chiyuv or the whole mitzvah of tzedakah is capped mid-dayraisa, what you do above that is not your chiyuv tzedakah. And if it's not your chiyuv tzedakah, so some say, there's bechlal no haftacha that you'll get it back. So if you want to give until a choymish or a meiser or a choymish, you're doing the mitzvah to kitikunai, l'shem the mitzvah. Good. So there you have haftacha. But to go above that, he says, now it shows that all the tzedakah you're giving is not because of the Torah's mitzvah, because there is no mitzvah to give more of that. So Vayis says you're doing it because partially you feel bad for the person. He says there that you don't have a haftacha whatsoever. Correct. It's true. The halacha of Aser is that at a tenth you already have the haftacha. But the Ramah says more than that. The Ramah says you will never lose out by giving tzedakah. That's not necessarily pegged to a tenth. Giving up to a fifth is still a mitzvah of tzedakah, and the Ramah says you won't lose out. That was his kasha. But Kopan, according to the, again, it's a chiddush, but I saw one of the Purushim on the Yerushalmi says that once you go above the fifth, you show it's not because of tzedakah, and therefore he says you lose the entire haftacha. Correct, but he's saying that's only my. He's saying that's that,
it's a nest.
No, that's he's saying that's meiser. But the meiser or the regular tzedaka in a chanami, you have bachanunin abazoyis. But if you can go ahead and give away all of your money and say bachanunin abazoyis, there's no such thing. That's a machlokes. We discussed that earlier. Some say it's meiser k'safim. You know, some say if you stam give tzedaka, if a person gives 5%, it could be there's no bachanunin abazoyis. It could be it's only on meiser k'safim. Others say it's bedafka, not ma'isuk sofim. Ma'isuk sofim is only a minug d'rabbanon. It's but there are shittas that hold it's ma'isur. That is the way the Ramah sounds like it's bringing it down. When you go above it, yeah. Again, it's a chiddush, but there is such a pshat. Now, another possible exception, which we'll discuss more a bit later or next week, is there are some shittas that say this is only talking about a regular person. Someone who is an usher muflug, someone has a tremendous abundance of money, there this cap may not apply. Now, clearly, even the shittas does not mean a regular person who's doing well and has a few extra dollars. Clearly, it's takana susha. Takana susha is, in a normal case, don't give more than a fifth. But an usher muflug, an extraordinarily wealthy person, there, we'll discuss them more later, but there are shittas that hold that this cap will not apply. Now, the Igros Moshe has a tremendous chiddush. And this chiddush is going to, we're going to see, is going to make a tremendous nafkamina in the entire discussion of how much tzedakah a person has to give. And that is, what is the takana susha? We're saying there's a cap of a chaymish. Now we're saying it applies to tzedakah according to the Ramah, but it applies to hegdish and other mitzvahs as well. Zakat of Moshe, this cap of a chaymish doesn't mean that each mitzvah a person does he can spend up to a fifth of his assets. In other words, if he has tzedakah, he has to buy a lulav of an esrog, he has to buy matzahs, he has five mitzvahs. So Zakat Rav Moshe, the pshat is not each mitzvah you do, you have a chiv to pay, spend up to one fifth of your assets. Zakat Rav Moshe, a chaymish is a cap for all the mitzvahs that you do. And therefore, Zakat Rav Moshe, you have to keep a cheshbon. You're allowed to spend up to a fifth of your money for mitzvahs. And therefore, if you spend more on one mitzvah, he says you have to spend less on another to keep it less than a chaymish. And what the Igros Moshe says, halacha l'maisa, he was discussing why people do not write Sifrei Torah. According to some Rishonim, there's a mitzvah essay to write a Sefer. Okay, this machlokes svarim, not svarim, but according to some shittos, there's a chiv to write a Sefer Torah. The Igros Moshe writes, so he has a whole arichos about how much you have to spend for a mitzvah. We'll discuss that in a few minutes. But he says, he ends up saying that you're not mechuyev to because of how expensive it is, a normal, regular person is not mechuyev to do it. What happens if a person wants to spend the money and wants to write a Sefer Torah? Lezok to Igros Moshe. He says, if you're going to spend a fifth of your money writing the Sefer Torah, he says, even though I can't tell you it's aser, he says, ein racham nechemenu. Because if you do that, you're not going to have any money for tzedakah. Because your cap is a chaymash. And therefore, he passes, you should not spend so much money on a Sefer Torah because it's going to crowd out the aniyim because you're going to use up more of this choymish, more of this cap. So, Takanos Usha is Ayuvaz Vez Yosim Mechoymish, where the Igros Moshe learns that it is an Isser. Chazal said, don't do it because you're going to become an ani. And therefore, according to this Igros Moshe, it's a tremendous skula. But the Igros Moshe says this, I saw this b'shem l'chazoynish. It's brought down b'shmoy. It's not in the sefer, and the Aruch HaShulchan and Simon in Tav Reish Nun Vav is also mashma like this a bit, but they're saying that what you do is whenever a person makes money, he can spend up to one fifth of that on mitzvah saseh, but again it's cumulative. You have to look at all the mitzvahs together, And therefore, in the future, when we talk about the Gedorim of Hilchus Tzedakah, according to the Igros Moshe, you have to calculate all the mitzvahs to see and make sure you stay under this 1/5 level. Okay, so I saw Sir Nissen Karelis has an interesting cheshbon with tuition. He says with tuition, the ikr chiyuv is for you to teach your child yourself. Now, if you want to hire someone to do your job, he says, okay, you can go ahead and do it. But he says, not so sure you can take that off your cheshbonos. Now, what will be if without that you can't earn the money at all? I hear it's tzarichin. You certainly can't take off what you're paying for English or anything which is not a dvar mitzvah. Now, someone else asked him, what about oinik Shabbos? Everything you eat on Shabbos. So there he had another chay, he was matcha that also. He said that since you have an os haguf, for some reason it's different. As far as our bits are chayin, the Igros Moshe is... No, that's a chay of ksuba. No, to give when they're under six, and the Igros Moshe grad extends it until they're older. But there's a chay of, because of your ksuba, to feed your children. That's not a mitzvah. It's a chiyuv. It's a regular chiyuv that you have. No. It's a chiyuv mamon. It's a chiyuv mamon. It's a chiyuv ksuba. It's one of the obligated, not a mitzvah to do it. It's a chiyuv mamon. And something which is a chiyuv mamon is certainly not going to be included in this cheshbon. Okay, good. So if it is, it is. If you make it into a mitzvah, then in a chlami, then it will be included. So this is the chiddush in Igros Moshe. It's a tremendous chiddush. What? Okay. Well, you have to buy the parchment, the chis. Oh, Enochrami. This cap, it's not going to say that if you hit your cap before Sukkot, don't shake Luv and Esrog. It means go borrow it from somebody. It's not telling you you're parched from the mitzvahs. It means, but what Igros Moshe paskins, again, it's a chiddush. What he paskins is, you have to cheshbon out with your mitzvahs. Don't spend too much on one, because it's going to crowd out another. So Moshe really has two, he's using two chumras or kulas, I guess it depends how you look at it. But he's saying, number one, there's an isser to go over a fifth, under, you know, he doesn't make any chalukim, it sounds like under any circumstances. And number two, his chiddush is that you combine all mitzvahs together. Senor Deh, Simon, Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf, Samach Gimel, for those that don't believe me. It's hard to call it stalko, especially if there already is a sefer Torah in the shul, so they don't benefit necessarily from having two. You'll save them a few minutes on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh, but other than that, it's not a real benefit. If there's no sefer Torah in the shul, then you don't have to come on to Hilchus Tzedakah. There's a chiyuv on a shul. It's something which you can force people to contribute to. It may not have a din of tzedakah, but it is a chiyuv mikra hadin that b'nei ir are koyf zezeh because it's one of the necessities. So it's true it has to be done. I don't know if it goes into tzedakah or not. It may be a more basic chiyuv. But in most cases where there already is a sefer in the shul, it's you can't be kaifa and the niyam wouldn't have a chiyuv either. Well, we're going to get back to that point. We're not necessarily discussing take-home pay. We're discussing, right now we're talking about a chaymish, l'chayr, could be of his assets, and it's true if he already gave a chaymish as it came in a chanami, you're right. But if he has take-home pay, and he has accumulated money which he hasn't used for mitzvahs or for tzedakah, so once he has, well, you know, once he has $50,000 saved up, since he made $250,000 over 2 years, now he has enough money to buy a sefer Torah, and now there, in theory, could be a chiyuv. But Igros Moshe says not to. Igros Moshe actually passes, he says up to a tenth, he's masking, you can do, even though there's no chiyuv, but more than a tenth, he says you shouldn't, because you're going to crowd out the other mitzvahs and you crowd out aniyim. Okay, so this was the maximum cap. The takanos usha is you can give up to a fifth. Igros Moshe is a chiddush, it means all mitzvahs. This is a cap, you cannot give more than that. Now let's deal with, I think, the real question, which is, what is a person's chiyuv? What does he have to give? So we have this question by tzedakah. How much money does a person have to give for tzedakah? And you really have the same question by all mitzvahs. So before Sukkot, everyone knows the lulav and esrog is expensive. You have to buy matzahs. You have to buy mitzvahs. Very many mitzvahs are expensive. How much money does a person have to spend to be mekayim a mitzvah? So there are a number of shitas. The Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Tes says that the Gemara says that the mitzvahs there's a chiyuv ad shlish. Hidur mitzvah ad shlish. Now the Gemara first understood that to mean that for a hidur mitzvah, if you have one lulav, one asterisk that costs $100, but hidur mitzvah ad shlish, you have to pay up to a third of your money, a third of your net worth, to buy a nicer asterisk. So if your net worth is $1 million, a shlish of that is $333,000. That's how much an asterisk goes for. The Gemara seems to say that you would have a chiv to buy this very expensive asterisk. The Gemara says this is impossible. If hidur mitzvah would be at shlish, once you have three mitzvahs, you're broke. And therefore the Gemara says it doesn't mean that. Hidur mitzvah at shlish means if a regular esrog costs $100, so for an esrog mehudr, you have to spend either $133 or $150, depending on how you cheshbin milgav. But hidur mitzvah, it's a third of the cost of the mitzvah. Based on this, the Rosh says, we see from this Gemara that a person does not have to spend a hoin rav even for a mitzvah asei oiveres. If it's before a sukkis, the only way to get a lulav and esrog is to spend a hoin rav. You see, you don't have to. Because the Gemara says that it doesn't make sense that after three mitzvahs you're wiped out. And therefore the Rosh paskins, you don't, even the mitzvah asei, there's a cap, you do not have to spend that much for a mitzvah asei. The Rosh and the Ran, they both say this halacha, do not clarify. No, Gemara is saying that because if this is true, then if you once you had three mitzvahs, we'll figure out one time. The next week another mitzvah comes, the next week another mitzvah, you're wiped out. The Gemara is saying it can't be, it's a third, it's just too much, your wealth will be gone very quickly. Doesn't mean at the same time you have three. What? That's an ilu isra'im, because if the chiyuv was at shlish, then once you had three mitzvahs, you'd be wiped out, and that can't be. But the Rosh is learning from this Gemara that you see from the Gemara that however, regardless of the fact that mitzvahs have infinite chashivos, it does not make sense to say that a person has to spend so much that he'll end up being wiped out. And therefore, the Rosh says, we see from here, even by mitzvah saseh, and even the Gemara is talking about hidur mitzvah, the Rosh extends it even to a mitzvah saseh oiveres. You don't have to spend, you don't have to be a mevazes, a hoin rav, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. So they asked that, but even so, you're not left with very much. You'll always end up with a pruta. You'll never end up with zero, but you'll be pretty much wiped out fairly quickly. This is what it takes to buy. Now, if you're in a situation where this is how much it costs to do a mitzvah, so the Gemara is saying it does not make sense to be mechayev to a shlish because he'll end up broke very quickly. Okay, if they're around. That's true.
Only if there is none other in town.
Enachanami. But we're discussing, the Rosh is saying that even in such a situation, in most situations, these questions don't come up. For most situations, Baruch Hashem, Meluv and Esrog is not a Hoin Rav, and generally you can afford it without bumping into a Shlish, a Chaymish, or a Maisav. But the Rosh is saying, if you're in a situation where now this mitzvah is going to wipe out a good chunk of your net worth, you don't have a chiyuv to do it even once, because from this Gemara. Now the Rosh does not say what a hoin rav is. The Rebbeinu Yeruchim, who is a Talmud of the Rosh, says that al kol ponim is a chiyuv to give a tenth. Beis Yosef says, I don't know what the makar for this is. We'll get to what the makar is. We'll get to perhaps inherit this a little bit later. But the Rosh himself does not give a guideline. The Ramah, when he brings this down in Archaim Simin Tafesh Nunvav, just says you don't have to spend a Hoin Rav on a mitzvah sasei oiveres. But again, just says not a Hoin Rav. Yerem Ruchim is the one that says it's capped at a tenth. The Shach actually learns that it's capped at a chomesh, that if there's a lulav and esrog, the only one around is going to cost you one-fifth of your net worth. The Shach is mashma that you are mechuyif to do it. But Rabbi Ruchim argues, and Rabbi Ruchim says it's capped at a tenth. Now this is what the Rishayim say. This is the way it's passed in the Ramah. There are two Gemaras that seem to be soyser this halacha, one l'chumra and one l'kula. And depending on how you understand these Gemaras, you end up with a completely different bottom line l'maisa. The first Gemara is the Gemara has a story with Rabbi Gamliel. He was on a boat with Rabbi Yeshua and other, and the only person that had an esrog was Rabban Gamliel. And the Gemara says this esrog that he had, he spent 1,000 zuz on. Lohidia, to show us how much chashivas Rabban Gamliel had for mitzvahs. He spent 1,000 zuz for an esrog. Frecht, Chavetz Chaim, and the Gris Moshe and others, what are you talking about? Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi. 1,000 zuz is a lot of money. But if there's a chiv to spend, let's say like Rabbeinu Yerucham, 1/10 of your assets for a mitzvah iveris, or according to the Shach, you must chiv to spend a choymish of your nechasov. If he's the Nasi, 1,000 zuz is less than a choymish of his nechasov. So what's the big deal in the Gemara? We're making a big deal that he spent 1,000 zuz. He's mechuyev to. And anyone who's worth more than either 5 or 10,000 zuz has a chiv to go buy it. So what's the big deal that Rabban Gamliel bought an esrog for 1,000 zuz? So the chayitz mashma from here, you don't have to spend a lot of money for a mitzvah. Mitzay cheni, there's a Gemara in Kedushin that discusses what happens if a person has a chiv of pidyon haben, and he has a chiv either aliyah l'regel, or he himself, his father was never paid to him, so he has a chiv to be paid to himself. And the question is, who has kedima? And the way many Rishonim learn, the case is, he had five shkalim left. And he only had enough money to be paid to either himself or his child. And the Gemara's question is, who comes first? And there the Gemara has a whole shiloh, who has kedim? Frech Chavetz Chaim, what are you talking about? The chiv we just said, there's a cap. You don't have to give more than 1/5 or 1/10 of your assets for any mitzvah. If you only have enough money to be paid to either yourself or your child, obviously, it's more than a chaymish. You're wiping yourself out with this pidyon or alilu rega. So chayr, it's mashim over here that even though you have to spend your last dollar to do a mitzvah saseh, and there's no cap whatsoever. See, how do you? What? No, no, but it says over. Yeah, it's. If you look in the Gemara, it's mavur. He had nothing. He only had enough one. But okay, we'll get to that. We're going to have to use that for some of the shittas. So how do we deal with this theory? So we seem to have three different. We have one Gemara that seems to say spending a lot of money you never have to do. We have another Gemara that says you have to spend your last dime. And then we have the Rishonim from the Rosh based on this Gemara in Bava Kamma that say a lot of money you don't have to, and whether it's a 10th or a 5th, it's not the guideline's not clear. Like this, the Gris Moshe says like this. The Gris Moshe Paskins, he says the Ikar is the Gemara in Sukkah. When it makes a big deal that Rabban Gamliel spent 1,000 zuz on an esrog, it's because he says no one has a chiv to spend 1,000 zuz on an esrog. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. We learn from the Gemara in Bava Kamma, a hoin rav, if it's a lot of money, you don't have to spend it. Now, exactly what a hoin rav is, I don't know. It clearly, from another truth from the Igros Moshe, it sounds like it depends on the person. But if it's considered a hoin rav, it's considered a lot of money, you don't have to spend that on a mitzvah saseh yoveris. I, the Gemara of Pidyon HaBen. Why do you have to spend your last dime for Pidyon HaBen? Zog the Igros Moshe, beautiful. He says Pidyon HaBen is not just a mitzvah. Pidyon HaBen, there's a choyv. You owe the koyin five shkolim. Zog the Igros Moshe, if you owe someone money, let's say you borrow $10,000, you're broke, you borrow $10,000 from someone. A week later, he asks for it back. You tell him, listen, you know I borrowed the money because I didn't have any. I was broke, right? So now that I have the money, it's more than a chaymish of my assets. It's true there's a mitzvah to pay back a chayv, but my mitzvah is only until a chaymish. So I'll give you $2,000. The other $8,000, I'll I'm going to keep for myself. So obviously it's not going to work. Because if there's a chayv, you owe someone money, you're not paying your money, you're giving him back his money. What? True, but it's the shevet, it's not yours. So Zog Digris Moshe, since when you're giving the kohen, it's not like you're giving him a matana, it's not like you're taking money from you and giving it to him, it's Mamon HaShevet, regardless, you're returning money that the kohen is entitled to, there, these caps don't apply, it's like a regular chayv, and that's why you have to give your last dollar for Pidyon HaBen. Which kohen? That's just which one. But since either way it has to go to a kohen, this is just a representative of the kohen. So which representative you give it to doesn't make a difference. But it's a chayv, the shevet has a tviya on, and a schus on this money. It's not your money. And therefore the Gris Moshe says, in that case, these caps don't apply. You have to give everything. But in any other case, the Gris Moshe says, you never have to spend a hoin rav, whatever that is, on a mitzvah saseh yaveris. Let me just finish. What? Oh, very good. So the Chiddush of Reb Shlaima in Kedushin, Simon Gimel, deals with that. Reb Moshe doesn't address that. This is the Igros Moshe. The Chavetz Chaim takes it the other way. Chavetz Chaim says that, no, fakert. The Ikra Gemara is, by Pinyin HaBen, you have to spend your last dime. Aye, what's the big deal with Rambam Gamliel that he spent a thousand zos? So there, the Chavetz Chaim has a Chiddush. He says like this. He says, it's true you have to spend however much for a mitzvah, but that's if mitzvahs are expensive. Louis Vanessa, a nice one, will cost whatever it costs today. So if that's its price, even though that's more, that's a chaymish or a chasav, you have a chiv to spend it. However, in the case of Gamliel, he was on a boat. An esrog is not worth 1,000 zos. No one else spent anywhere near that. He was on the boat. There was only one esrog. So the fellow who had the esrog decided to do a little extortion. He knew he could take advantage of Gamliel, would spend whatever he could. He said, I'm not selling it to you unless it's 1,000 zos. Zog the Chavetz Chaim, there where that's not the price. Any other person who bought a lulav and esrog spent a fraction of that. It was just extortion that was done to force him to pay more. Zog the Chavetz Chaim, that's not the price. That's not. We don't say that's the market value on a boat. That is, he says, there you have a patur of oinus to spend more than its value. You never have a chiyuv to do. But in a regular case, Chavetz Chaim paskins, there is a chiyuv to spend a hoin rav, either at least meiser, at least a tenth, possibly even a chaymish. Aye, what about the Gemara in the opinion of Ben, where you have to spend all of your money? So there he says the other way. He says like this. Although Takanos Usher made a cap of a fifth, that's only because a person has money, person has capital. So we want in order to prevent him from becoming an ani, we say don't spend more than a fifth. However, Zak the Chavetz Chaim, a person has a job and he lives hand to mouth, he works, eats, he only has 5 shkolim to his name. Zog the Chavetz Chaim, whether he spends this on the mitzvah or not, is not going to make a difference in the long run. Because he's not living off his capital. He's living off his job. The minute he loses his job, he needs tzedakah. So in such a case, where a person only has enough just for this mitzvah, he only has a few dollars, it's not going to make a difference. Becoming an ani, not becoming an ani, there are no caps. There's a mitzvah, you have to spend it. We're talking about a person who, adrabah, he has capital, he's living, he does business, his parnasa comes from investing and from the assets that he has. There we say, don't spend more than a chaymish, because he'll become an ani. But where that's not a chashash, there it does not apply. Okay, we're out of time. We'll have to finish this and talk about... Stock up next week.